Blog Talk Radio.
My God is real. He is real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed and made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real. I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real. I can feel He made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real. I can feel Him in my soul. There are some things that I may not know. There are some places that I just can't go. But one thing for sure, my God is real. My God is real. I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real. I can feel Him in my soul.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Friday night. So excited to be with you tonight. And this is the Macedonian Call around the globe. And we're coming into your home right here from Springboro, Ohio. And what a joy, what a pleasure it is to be with you again here on Friday night, October the 4th. And ready to preach the gospel of Jesus. The subject tonight is on prayer. And how many know our God is real? Our Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us, is real. He's a healer. He's a miracle-working God. And the most of all, He can save your soul. If you don't know Him tonight, I suggest you try Him. And I tell you, He'll do you good. And get yourself a King James Bible and start reading it and see the promises are yea and amen of God. And all the promises in the Bible are for you that are Christians who have asked repentance of your sins, and that you promise to not sin no more. And if you fall and make a mistake, you have an advocate with the Father. Praise the Lord. And if you'd like to be part of this broadcast, you could call in at 347-989-8862. Again, it's 347-989-8862. If you want to reach us by email, it is heisrisen38@AOL.com. heisrisen38@AOL.com. And at this moment, we've got many prayer requests tonight that we really want to make sure that we pray over these, and a lot of urgent prayer requests. And we need to pray through the broadcast, and also we need to take them upon our heart. If you don't have a pen and paper as I list these, you prayer warriors out there, get you a pen and paper, make you a list, and of the names that we call out tonight, and some have unspoken requests and some are spoken, and really take them upon your heart tonight. And, you know, and there's some people that are silent and they don't turn in prayer requests, and just pray for our nation and pray for third world countries out there that are trying to serve God, trying to be a Christian, and they're being martyred, persecuted just for being a Christian. And you know, that is Bible. That is exactly, if you read Matthew 24, we are surely seeing those days come in the past. So right now we're going to have Rachel. She's our daughter. She's 9 years old. She's going to tell you where she's reading from, and she's going to read you her scripture.
Chronicles 2 Chronicles
7 through 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
Praise God. He will heal their land. Hallelujah. So just what the Bible says there. And tonight's subject again is on prayer. And I'm going to list some of the requests right now. Kim Sue Hargrove Adams, she said, please say a prayer for my dear friend, Sister Carrie Crater. She laid her husband to rest today. She had suffered from depression, anxiety disorder for many years, and he was the only one who could help her when it got bad. And I'm really worried about her. Thank you, she says. So, prayer warriors, make that on your list. Pray for Sister Carrie Crater. Crystal Renee Rice, she says to pray for Sister Lolanda Chestin. And that's Lolanda, L-O-L-A-N-D-A, if you're writing this down. Chastine, that's C-H-A-S-T-E-N. She needs a miracle. And we need God to move in that situation immediately. Also, remember Sister Kim Turner. She's holding on to the answers from the request she turned in last week. She appreciates this, and she knows God's going to move for her family. And so remember Sister Kim Turner. Also, Sister Kim Sue Hargrove Adams says she also wants us to pray for Mr. Foster. She don't know his first name. He had a heart attack, and there is nothing that they can do. Was diagnosed with liver cancer the same day. And right now they're just keeping him comfortable. So he needs a miracle of God. Sister Bonnie Burke says, please pray for the family. God knows all about things that are just don't understand, she says. So pray for Sister Bonnie Burke and her family. Sherry Keaton Perry says her prayer request is for her. Appreciate the prayers. Thanks and love you. Colleen Whittle down in Louisiana. She's a cousin of mine. And pray for Michael. My cousin Stephanie Nicolini, pray for her dad. That's her dad there. He is going to have open heart surgery here soon. I think the beginning of next week. The main vessels to his heart are blocked 100%, I believe it was. But he has multi-blockages from what I understand, and he is in great need of prayer. And remember him, and I don't know if he's saved, so if he's not saved, we also pray for his salvation. And for all of my family, pray for them that they find God and give their heart and truly repent of their sins. And I love them all. I love them dearly. Wouldn't want to hurt them for nothing in the world. Actually, I'd be crazy. I'd be a fool to not tell them, to not say anything. Praise God. So Becky Fritz, she says, pray for her unsaved children. Trina Signa says, say a prayer for her family. God knows the situation. And more are coming in. We'll go over them again, and we're surely going to pray over these, I tell you. A lot of prayer requests. And pray for our nation and our government. Praise God. God knows all the situations. He knows the very intent of the heart. So, praise God. Right now we're going to have... Evangelist Clint Green. He's going to come in. He's going to obey God. And then we'll get another song. Praise the Lord. If you want to call in, again, it's 347-989-8862. It's 347-989-8862.
Okay, it's good to be with you tonight. It's good to be saved. I say that a lot, but it's the truth anyhow. It's good to know that you got your name tonight in the Lamb's Book of Life and that you have a home in heaven. When you leave this place on earth, you're going one place or the other. You're going to go to heaven or you're going to that place called hell. And you're not going to have any escape to get out of hell, but you'll be there forever. But if you go to heaven, it'll be altogether different. It'll be peace on earth, and it'll be goodwill to men, and it'll be joy unspeakable and full of glory. And there'll be no more sorrow, and there'll be no more pain. And the Bible said the former things will be passed away, and all things will become new. And there'll be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And there'll be peace on earth forever. There'll never be no more wars. There'll be no more sickness, no more disease. There'll be nothing like that that'll come against you, against any of your loved ones. But they that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will have, they'll have everlasting joy, and they'll have peace throughout eternity. And they'll never grow old, and they'll have a body that'll never wear out. You know, a lot of times our bodies wear out down here, and we might get lame. We might have to have a knee replaced, or we might have to have a hip replaced, or we may have to go into the hospital, and we might have to have some repair work done on these old bodies. But I'll tell you, if we, when we cross over, if we make heaven our home, I'll tell you, we'll never have to worry about having pain in our body. I know many people tonight, probably out there, listening to me tonight, they've got pain and disease and something in your body coming against you. But I'll tell you, there's healing in the name of Jesus. And, you know, we might not have the best. Some of us out there might not have health care and things that some people can afford. But I'll tell you, if we've got Jesus, I'll tell you, he can take care of us. If we put our faith in God, we can overcome, and we can have strength, and he'll renew our strength as the eagles, the Bible says. But we're preaching tonight on prayer, and I thank God that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, and that I thank God tonight no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. You know, the world's going to pass away, but he that doeth the will of God shall abide forever. And the Bible teaches us not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. Praise God. And I'll tell you, I'm separated tonight. I'm a child of the King and washed in the blood tonight, and purified by faith. Praise God. I'm sanctified by the Spirit of God and redeemed from the curse of the law. Praise God. And I'm a free man tonight. I'm not bound by sin. Praise God. Sin hath no more dominion over us tonight. We're free. Whosoever the Son sets free is free indeed. Praise God. The Bible said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You see, we don't have to sin every day. We don't have to be a slave to the enemy of our soul. We don't have to be pulled around. You know, they take the old bull, you know, a lot of times in the pasture field, and you know, they put a ring in his nose, and they lead him around with that ring. They got a little stick of a thing that they clamp onto that ring to hold that bull away from him, and they can lead him anywhere they want to. He might weigh 3,000 pounds or 2,200 pounds or something like that, and that little old 100-pound man, he can take a hold of that old bull, and he can lead that bull wherever he wants him to go. And I tell you tonight, we don't have to have the devil leading us around and making us do things and telling us what to do and what we can't do. Praise God, the Lord has set us free. We need to take our stand in Christ and back the devil off, praise God, and resist him, and he'll flee from us. And I tell you, prayer is the key tonight. The prayer of faith, I said a little while ago, shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up if they have committed sins. If they call for the elders of the church, if they're a backslider out there tonight, hearing my voice, I'm advising you tonight to go find you a place, a church somewhere, or find you an altar somewhere and pray. But thing about it is a prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. And if they've committed sins, the Bible said there, they shall be forgiven them. So we can get forgiveness if we got out of the way somewhere along the line, if we quit working and taking the cross and following Christ. And I want to read a scripture here. I've got quite a bit here to read if I get to it tonight. It's Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which seeth in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Praise God. Now I tell you, Jesus was given these instructions in Matthew chapter 6, and he was telling them not to be as the hypocrites are. He said, they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Praise God. Well, they wanted a, you know, they was getting their reward, Jesus said, and their reward was going to be of men. It was just going to be a pat on the back and how great you are and that kind of a thing. But it wasn't going to be anything they was going to get from heaven, because they was only putting on a show. But God don't want us tonight to put on a show, but he wants us to enter into to our closet. And when we have shut the door, then we pray to the Father which seeth in secret. And the Father which seeth in secret, he shall reward us openly, praise God. He's, oh, praise God. You know, God's not in the show business tonight. God's not in that tonight. Many times he answers prayer, and he just does it behind the scenes. You know, he does things for us sometimes that we don't even know about sometimes. He sometimes heals our bodies, and we don't even really know that we was sick, you know, or we knew something was wrong, but we didn't know what was wrong with us. And many times I've been healed of different things through the prayer of faith, and sometimes down on my knees praying to the Lord, and I'll see that I've been healed of something. And, you know, it's just a joy to be able to pray to the Father that hears in secret. We don't have to get up on a mountain somewhere to pray to get a hold of God. We don't have to go into a swamp somewhere and get in some secluded place and try to get a hold of God. But, you know, you can get a hold of God even if you're in a city in a crowded area. You might be in a shopping mall, and you can get a hold of God. You just have to say a little prayer, praise God, sometimes. You know, I was thinking about a woman praying in the temple one day, and I think Joanna mentioned this last week, how that Hannah prayed, and Eli, the minister of God, the priest of God, was watching her, and he thought she was drunk because she wasn't crying out and shedding tears and wailing and weeping, but she was just moving her mouth, and she was saying a little prayer to God. And you know what? God heard her, and you know that's where the she had the child. His name was Samuel, and Samuel was the one that grew up and anointed David to be king of Israel. Praise God, and he was a great prophet, Samuel. Was a judge of Israel and a great prophet. Praise God. And it was through a prayer that Hannah prayed in the temple. She went to that altar and she knelt down and she prayed. And she whispered a little prayer to God, and God heard her. You know, I've been some places where peoples have been praying and just about, you know, deafened me a time or two. The squalling in my ear and things, and I guess it's all right if God's in it, but if God ain't in it, you come back home with your ears ringing, and you wonder what's going on. Praise God, we don't have to be real quiet, but we don't have to, you know, blow somebody's eardrum out either, because God can hear our prayer. Praise God. And, well, praise the Lord. They shall lay hands on the sick, the Bible said, and they shall recover. You know, I don't have to. Well, let me get off of that. Praise the Lord. Let's get on to prayer tonight. Praise God. I was thinking about, many people prayed in the Bible, different kind of prayers. They got down to business with God, and many times they fasted and prayed. And, you know, one place Jesus was casting out a devil, and the disciples could not cast him out. And the man had brought his boy to the disciples, and they couldn't cast that spirit out of that boy. And, you know, they brought him to Jesus, and Jesus rebuked that spirit. And Jesus cast that spirit out of that boy. And they wondered why that they could not cast him out. And Jesus told them, because this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. So it was because that they hadn't fasted is what I believe. Because, you know, Jesus had done his fasting. He had went into that wilderness and fasted 40 days. And he had been tempted of the devil, and he had overcome the devil and came out of there with the power of God in his life. And he went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. Praise the Lord. Praise God. And I'm trying to get on with my message here tonight. Now I've got several things to say, but let's see here. 1 Timothy 2:8. He said, I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Praise God. He also said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, the Apostle Paul, he said here, pray without ceasing. That's 5:17 of 1 Thessalonians. And verse 23, he says here, And I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. Praise God. So Paul was a praying man. Praise God. And he believed in prayer. When he got saved on the road to Damascus, over there in Acts chapter 9, God spoke to, I believe it was Ananias. He spoke to him. Over there, he was an old disciple, and he said, go to the street called Straight and inquire for one Simon, one Saul. You'll find him there praying. So he went and found Paul praying there at the street called Straight there. He found him in a place praying. Praise God. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:25, he says, brethren, pray for us. So Paul not only believed in his own prayers, but he also believed in the prayers of the saints. After that, he was converted there on the road to Damascus. He became a great warrior for God. He was there that day when they stoned Stephen, and he held the coats. The Bible said they laid the coats at a young man's feet, and his name was Saul. And this is the Apostle Paul. He later became the Apostle Paul. And he heard that man, that minister of God, that young man, I guess he was a young man. He was one of the deacons of the church there in the book of Acts. And there in chapter 6, I believe it is, they looked out some men. They appointed them over this business of the tables, watching the tables and feeding the widows and probably taking care of the money and buying the food and that kind of a thing. And they appointed them over this business, and they looked them out. I think it was 7 men of good report and faith and full of the Holy Ghost. And one of them was Stephen. And Stephen not only did that, but later these men became, I believe they became, some of them might have been prophets, and some of them was evangelists, and they preached. And the Bible said that Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost and faith and power, and he did miracles among the people. And when he prayed, things were happening. Praise God. He could pray the prayer of faith that would save the sick. He could lay hands on the sick, and the sick recovered. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm glad that that power has never left the church. That God has never lost his power. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still healing the sick. He's still an opening blinded eyes, unstopping deaf ears. Praise God. And the Apostle Paul, he was there praying. And the Bible said he was 3 days without sight. And I think it said also that he didn't eat for 3 days. He was praying and seeking God. And sometimes we need to get alone by ourselves. And we need to seek God, and we need to pray, and we need to get maybe sometimes in a secluded place. You know, we might ought to enter sometimes, just get in a closet or get in a back bedroom or get upstairs somewhere or in the basement, you know, and in your house there in a room that you're not using. And you make your prayer closet out of that room, begin to pray and begin to seek God and begin to fast and begin to call upon the name of the Lord and begin to pray one for another and lift up one another. And you see those that's on your prayer chain, you know, that's got their name on the prayer list and needs prayer. We need to pray for them. Praise God that God will move for them. In Luke 6, the Bible tells us that Jesus went up into a mountain and prayed, and he prayed all night, and then he chose his disciples. We need to pray for direction sometimes. You know, what are we supposed to do, Lord? Where are we supposed to go? And do you have a plan, you know, that we should be following and seek the Lord for direction? Praise God. My daughter read there in 2 Chronicles how that if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, then God would, you know, forgive their sin and would heal their land. And if there's ever a time that the United States of America needs healing, it's today. I know I'm speaking to a lot of people in America. I'm also speaking to people across the waters, the oceans, and different countries, and I'm not only preaching tonight to Christians, but I'm also preaching to people that believe in other gods. And I'll tell you, try this God, praise God, that we're serving. And you can get to him through the name of Jesus Christ, his Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And, you know, you can have this everlasting life. It's life everlasting when you, this natural man that's going to die one of these days, if Jesus don't come back before our time's up, they'll take us out to the graveyard and they'll lay these bodies down. Praise God. But I'm telling you, when the spirit leaves the body, the spirit is going back to God, which gave it. Either going back to paradise, we're in heaven, or they're going back to that holding place called hell. You know, the rich man, you know, in the book of Luke there, the rich man and Lazarus, you know, Lazarus was laid at the rich man's gate. And the Bible said that the rich man would not do anything for Lazarus, and one day Lazarus died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, which was paradise. And the Bible tells us at that time, this was before Jesus went to the cross and died for our sins, and they went to that holding place called paradise, which was also called Abraham's bosom, and it was in the heart of the earth. And Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. Praise God. He was talking about the temple of his body. And he said as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. And you know, he went down there and he led them people out of there. In Matthew 27, the Bible tells us about the graves of many were opened, and many of the saints were seen in the holy city in Jerusalem. That was called the holy city on earth. They were seen. And we don't know how many they were that got their glorified body, came out of that them graves, but they were seen. And on the, and that was on the third day when Jesus came out. You know, there was a great earthquake, and the angel rolled the stone away. Praise God. And the people was gone. The women were going to see Jesus. And they didn't know how they was going to roll that stone away. But I don't know if they prayed along the way or what. But I'll tell you, God can roll the stone away, whatever's in troubling you and whatever in your way. Prayer can change things tonight. Things can be changed. The prayer of faith can surely change whatever's going on in your life. And it can change you from a sinner to a saint if you'll pray the prayer of repentance. And you'll pray the sinner's prayer, call on Jesus. And I know I'm kind of scattered here tonight, but I'm going to turn it back over to Sister Joanna for a few minutes here.
Praise God. We've got a caller here on the phone. It's 937-543. Come in and tell us who you are and where you're located. Sister Carla? Oh. Okay, we must have lost connection with them. Hopefully she'll get the call back. We're talking about prayer tonight, folks. And, you know, our daughter read that there about if my people, which are called by my name in 2 Corinthians there, 2 Chronicles 7:14, and it says right here, it says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. And you know what? He talks about many different places how he'll heal our bodies. And I was thinking in Acts chapter 2, praise God, I was thinking here in Acts in chapter 2, how it talks about in 38, it says, then Peter said unto them, repent. They were taught, these are the very ones that crucified Jesus. And they heard Peter preaching. And in verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter, to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And if you're out there and you don't know what you should do, if you don't know which way to go, if you don't know what to do and how to pray, you know, he's telling right here, the Bible talks about, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. So just being baptized is not going to get it. Just being dunked in some water. When John the Baptist was baptizing, and he told him to bring fruits of repentance, and he wouldn't baptize him. So we must be first, we must be saved and accept Jesus. And then baptism is just an open testimony of that you've already given your heart to God and you've already repented of your sins, and it's the remission of your sins. So then you're to be baptized. It's an outward testimony, like I said. And you know, while he tells us to come with a broken heart and contrite spirit, and after we've done that and we've prayed, we're to go tell people. So baptism is a way of showing and telling people that you've accepted Christ as your Savior, for he had died on the cross. And he took on the burdens of this world and the sins of this world and all of our transgressions. He took them upon his shoulder. And he laid down his life for you and I. Oh, praise God. And if we just accept that, it's just simple as that. And it's no big theology. You don't have to go to college to understand it, but it's the Spirit of God that reveals it to you. And once you've done this and you've been baptized, he said, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, that's talking to you tonight, and for your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And this is to us, church, when he ascended back to heaven, and he said, I must go expediently, and I'll pray the Father that he'll send another comforter to you. Because he knew he had to go back to be on the right hand of the Father. And you know, he told Thomas, he said, you blessed because you have seen, you believe because you have seen me. He said, but blessed are those that have not seen, but yet they believe. So we've not seen Christ in the natural or in the physical, but we believe that he has done what he's done on the cross. Oh, I praise God. You can't just live any old way and then expect God to save you. You have to be sorrowful for your sins and turn around. Repent means to turn around and not do what we always do in the old man. It says old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. So once we give our heart to Christ, there's a difference come about us. And you don't have to worry about your friends and what they'll say and what they'll do. They'll even wonder, what's this difference about you? There's something different. I believe you're even glowing, somebody told me once. And I said, I'm so happy because I got Jesus in my life. Praise the Lord. And I love when they ask me, what is this about you? You go through this, you're going through that, you lost a baby. One time I lost a baby on October the 1st of 1993. But you know, it's even makes a better reason for me to want to go to heaven. And I see now that we've got the caller back on, and 937, I'm going to open up your mic here. If you'd like to say something, let us know who you are. 937-673, go ahead, tell us who you are and where you're located.
It's Keith and Carla Locks, and we're located in New Carlisle, Ohio. And we love just praising the Lord. And Keith's got a song for you tonight, and we hope that it blesses you.
Praise God. Go right ahead, sis. Thank God you've called in.
Everyone's lost someone they love. Long before it. Their time. Feel like the days that turn when you say goodbye. And to all of the people with hurts and pain, keeping you back from your life. You believe that there's nothing and there is no who can make it right. There is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, and love for the broken heart. There is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing. He'll meet you wherever you are. Bow to Jesus. Cry out to Jesus. For a marriage that's struggling just to hang on, to lost all of their faith and love, and all they can to make it right again. Still, it's not enough. Oh, can break these addictions and chains. Try to give up, but you come back again. Just remember that you're not alone in your shame and your suffering. There is hope for the is, mercy and healing. He'll meet you wherever you are. Follow to Jesus. When you're lonely and you feel like the whole world is falling on you, you just reach out, you just cry out to Jesus. Cry to Jesus. To the widow who struggles with being alone, watching the tears from her eyes. For the children around the world without a home, say a prayer tonight. Yes, there is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, and love for the broken heart. There is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing, to meet you wherever you are. When you're lonely and you feel like the whole world is falling on you, you just reach out, you just cry out to Jesus, cry to Jesus. The widow who struggles with being alone, wiping the tears from her eyes. For the children around the world without a home, say a prayer tonight.
Praise God, Jim. That was the first time he's ever sung it to anyone, and he just did it on the radio, and we thank God for it. You know, we have been in prayer. We have been in a prayer mode in the last 3 days, and we've had a prayer shawl that we've put over ourselves, and we have watched God move upon different people. We do a nursing home ministry, and one of the ladies had a 50% blockage in her heart, and we just found out about 2 hours ago that they went in and they found absolutely nothing. Another man at the nursing home had a hand that was no longer had blood circulation, and they were saying they were going to have to remove the finger. And when we went to the nursing home on Wednesday, he came through and he had circulation back in his hand, and that's the God we serve. He is just so awesome. He's just been moving tremendously, and we just thank God for it. But we thank God for your ministry and everything that you guys are doing. God is so awesome.
Praise God, Sister Carla. Go ahead there, sis. If you feel like preaching, you go right ahead. And you know, the subject's been on prayer, and that was right on time, right perfect what Brother Keith there sung. And that's true. He's got grace and mercy still wide open for us tonight. And go ahead, obey the Lord, sis.
Well, that's exactly what I preached on Wednesday night, was on prayer, because I talked about the judge and where the judge had went. The woman had went to the judge, and she said she went to the judge, and she told the judge, she says, I want you to go and get my adversary. I've got an adversary. And the judge did not fear God. He didn't fear God in one bit, but the woman kept going to him over and over. And Jesus said this was a parable, and he said the same thing, that when this woman continues to go on to this judge that did not fear God, this judge went ahead, and he says, I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to avenge this woman because of the adversary. He says, I'm going to avenge her, he said, because I do not want to hear her, and then she'll leave me alone. And Jesus said the same thing that our Father will do if we continually go before him. I know Jacob, he wrestled all night with the angel. And the angel finally, after he had wrestled all night, he said, I will not go until you bless me. And he was blessed by his wrestling. And, you know, when we go on a fast and we get along with God, the devil will do everything he can to come against our body. He'll come against every way that he can while we're in that fast. But I tell you, when you're in the middle of that prayer time and that fasting time, you will. I remember sitting there at the throne of God thinking, Lord, I just want more of you, God. I just want to feel a little bit more of you. And this is the God that we serve, Joanne. I'll tell you what, you can taste him and you can find out that he is so wonderful in the things that he did. And you can see miracles going around. And, you know, I watched in my home as we were doing these things and while we were praying and while we were in this three-day thing with the Lord. And as we were praying, the more we prayed, the more we were seeing the things around us changing. And, you know, when you walk into a room and you've been alone with God, they know it. People know it. They can see God on you, and it just flows from breath to breath. I thank him, and I praise him for everything. He's so wonderful, Joanne, so wonderful. And the more that you taste him, the more that you want him. And I think that's what it is. The devil's got this world so blinded that they can't even see it. And if they could just taste him and see that he's good, then they would know that this is the God. That's what we were made for. These feet were made to walk in his shoes. These hands were made to praise him. These eyes were made to see the things that he had made for us. He is so wonderful and so good, sister. I thank him. I never planned on saying all that, but I thank him and I praise him for everything. He's so wonderful. Go ahead, sis.
Praise God. We appreciate you and Brother Keith for coming on. And not to scare Brother Keith any or nothing, but he sung that to over 50,000 people. And, you know, a lot of times we'll do things and we don't even realize the little things that we do right from our living room, right from our household. And, you know, it reaches faces that we've never seen. And, you know, it's obedience is better than sacrifice. And Sister Carla, what you said, your testimony about the lady going in and had heart blockages. And, you know, somebody needed to hear that tonight, that God still does miracles. And I remember one time my Uncle Jess had come to a family reunion, and I had just gotten saved. And he had a stomach aneurysm, and he had to go back home. And before he left at the park at the family reunion, I said, "Can't y'all stay just a little longer?" And I remember touching him on his shoulder, and he said, "No, I got to go back home because Tuesday I have to go in for surgery. And they're telling me that I have a stomach aneurysm." And I said, "Uncle Jess, God can fix that aneurysm, and they can do one more test on you. And before they do that surgery, they can say, we can't even find it." And I got a church on Hannah, a call from the church, at the church, while we were at the church having service, I got a call from Louisiana, and it was my Uncle Jess. And he had said, "They did exactly what you said, and that was God. To him be all glory." They couldn't find the aneurysm. And I know there's people out there needing to heal in their body, and they've never tasted of God. They've never really given their heart over to him. Oh, but he is a miracle-working God. He created us in the first place. He's able to unstop blockages. He is able to remove aneurysms. He is able. We know a lady right now that if God don't move for her, she's going to meet her journey. Her journey is going to be at the end, and she's going to cross over into eternity. But one thing I can surely tell you, her eternity is going to be in heaven with the Lord, with Jesus. Where are you going to spend your eternity tonight, folks? Are you going to spend it somewhere? You will spend it somewhere. This old body dies, but our soul and our spirit go somewhere. And I wanted to go to heaven, and that's what I'm talking to you tonight about. That's what Sister Carl was talking to you about. That's what Brother Keith has sung to you about, and Brother Green. Praise God. We've got another caller on here, and we're going to let him come in and obey God. Turn on your mic now, brother. Hang in there. Our computer's just a little slow, but 770. Hold on a second. If you want to be part of this broadcast, you call in at 347-989-8862. Again, it is 347-989-8862. Sister Carla, Brother Keith, you all call in as much and any time that you all want to. It's every Friday night at 10 o'clock, and you all sure blessed me tonight. And Brother John, I believe that's you, 770-584, come in and obey God.
Appreciate that, Brother and Sister. We appreciate the opportunity to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I enjoyed so much, amen, the power of the Lord and the word of God and testimony and scriptures that have gone forth. This is prayer and action tonight, and this is the thing that we fully expect. And tonight, as God began to deal with me out of Matthew chapter 5, tonight I've got two or three places in the scripture that God's been dealing with, and I appreciate Brother Green had called me earlier today. And last night we were up all night and actually had a high fever and everything like that, but God has moved upon that. And I wasn't able to get on right at 10 o'clock because I wasn't at home, but we just came through the door when we called and just praise the Lord to be a part of the opportunity. But tonight, the first part of what God has given me to deal with is out of Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 43. And it's actually, I'll just get into the word. It says, "You have heard that it has been said that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy." You know, the Bible says in Ezra 9 and 12, Deuteronomy 23 and 6, it talks about the time when the Ammonites and the Moabites, amen, and when Israel had come out of Egypt, and the Moabites and the Ammonites were descendants, amen, of Lot through the ancestral relationship that he had with his older daughter and younger daughter. And as they came out, they would have nothing to do with the children of Israel. They come, they wouldn't give them any water, they wouldn't give them any food, they wouldn't give them any thing as they were being coming from the world, coming from Egypt, coming from the bondage and captivity. And God had already told him, he said, don't in both places not to even seek for peace. In other words, not to go to them, amen, and make peace with them because they had not come, they had not given, amen, they had not used hospitality. But Jesus said in verse 44, he said, "But I say unto you, love your enemies." You know, we're commanded tonight to love our enemies. This is the only, amen, belief in all the world that commands you to love your enemies. He said, "Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." You know, this is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many times the Bible says, "He that is first shall be last. He that is last shall be first." Many things, to hold on to something, to receive something, you must hold on, let go of it. And tonight, he instructs us to love our enemies. He instructs us to bless them that curse us. He instructs us to do good to them that hate you. He instructs us to pray with them, which despitefully use you. That's to mistreat you, false accuse you, and persecute you. Persecute you is someone that is actually coming after you, oppressing you. Someone's pursuing you. Someone's always coming after you. And the Bible says, pray for them. Hallelujah. And so this is the time. This is and it's prosukome. In other words, to pray, not only to pray, but to pray earnestly for them. There's an earnest prayer that must go for them, amen, that are coming against you. Those of them that hate you. Those of them that despitefully use you. Those of them that persecute you. Verse 45, that you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. In other words, for you become a child of the Father. You must love your enemy. For you to be a child of the Father, you must bless them that curse you. For you to be a child of your Father, you must do good to them that hate you. For you to be a child of your Father, you must pray for them that despitefully and use you and persecute you. We are instructed, he says, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. That's provision. The sun comes up and it blesses the good and the evil. And sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Rain comes, it rains on everybody. God's no respecter of person. The Bible says in Matthew 7, and God, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon the house, and it fell where it was founded. It fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. Tonight, amen, our house is founded upon the rock by prayer. And you see these things, he says, for you love them which love you, what reward have you? In other words, what makes you different tonight? To be a child of God, there's something that's set apart. The Bible says, "Come ye unto me, shepherd, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you unto myself." Brother Green and Sister Green all brought out 2 Chronicles 7:14. There's a separation, amen. There's a setting apart. The setting apart is loving your enemy. The setting apart is praying for them and respect for you. The setting apart, amen, is going exactly opposite as the way the world would go. We need to know tonight, amen, that the Bible says, if we just love those that love us, what reward do we have? That we're not set apart. We're not children of God. Verse 47, if you salute your brethren only, whether any more than others. You're not even Republicans. So Republicans come and saluted their own publicans. If we just salute our brethren, what thanks do we have? What makes us any different? What sets us apart? Because we're just doing to the brethren. We're just doing to a select group. But God says to love all of them. And the Bible says, be therefore perfect. In other words, complete. Even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. You know, the Bible teaches this in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, starting with verse 14, says, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. You know, there's death and life in the power of the tongue. And we as believers, amen, should have our conversation seasoned with salt. And we should use this tongue, amen, to bless and not to curse. It says, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Be content with the things that you have. He says, recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Church tonight, retaliation is forbidden. And just like sister brought out about avenging the unjust judge, would avenge his prayer continually, as this woman continually came unto the judge that did not regard man or God. But what did move him was constant, persistent, consistent prayer of coming to him. Amen. Tonight, as we can constantly continue, let's just pray without ceasing. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, just like the sister brought out, brother and Keith and Sister Carly says, but rather give place in the wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. What is it telling you? Give place to God's wrath. Give place. Your wrath, the righteousness of man doesn't work it. The righteousness of God. In other words, the wrath of man. Amen. It's not to be. You give place to wrath. You give place to his vengeance. It belongs to him. If we take vengeance, we've stolen from God. Amen. He said, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil tonight, church, but overcome evil with good. We are more than conquerors tonight, church. We're more than conquerors. Amen. We've been set apart as children of God. Amen. And brother, the testimony tonight reminded me of years ago. I had that same type of call. And we'll be going to a couple other places here in the scripture. Luke chapter 22, that as in Romans chapter 8. But years ago, my uncle was writing, there were several men in their, men and women in their church, husbands and wives, that they were in a motorcycle. They just got together and rode their motorcycles. And one night he was coming back from eating supper at a place, and he saw oil spill across the highway up ahead, and he told my aunt to get off the motorcycle, and she jumped off the motorcycle, and he rode it out. But it busted his helmet open, and didn't expect him to live. He lost all his memory. He had no memory of anything. And also went to a family reunion. And he couldn't even remember 5 minutes from it. He couldn't remember his wife, his children, his family, nothing. Who I prayed for him, amen, and God is, and that his memory would be restored. And so about 5 or 6 years down the road, you know, we prayed for him every night, and I got a phone call at the church one night. It was my uncle. He hadn't even remembered my name. He called me, and he said, they call me, up north they call me Johnny, and he said, because my grandfather's name was John, and named after John the Apostle and my grandfather John, and so they call me Johnny so there'd be no, you know, mistake. But anyhow, he called me and he said, Johnny, he said, I've completely restored. He said, we were sitting in church tonight and just a great white light and restored completely his whole memory. He had lost his memory for 5 or 6 years. Couldn't remember his name, couldn't remember 5 seconds. And now he's alive and well today and still his memory is fine. He's been completely whole. And he remembered that night, that day of all things that we prayed for him in the park at the family reunion. And so, church, it's time for family reunion, just like Sister Green said, that amen, that many of us have lost children, amen. We've got more to go to heaven for today than we did yesterday. There's more to go to heaven for. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 22, starting with verse 39, here the Lord Jesus Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said that he came out and went as he went to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said to them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. In other words, we are to resist the trials, amen. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Tonight, church, the will of the Father shall be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Tonight, we need to know that the will of the Spirit, amen, is making intercession for us. As it says in Romans chapter 8, when we know not what we ought to pray, it makes groanings and utterings, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, when we don't know what to pray. So tonight, you can come to a place, amen, and hear the Lord Jesus Christ was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. The Bible says that they are all ministering spirits, the ministers of them who are the heirs of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. This angel of the Lord began to strengthen him. Being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. He kept praying, kept on seeking, kept on asking, kept on knocking. And when he rose up from prayer and he came to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. They were sorry because they knew they were sorrowful and depressed because they knew that he was going away to leave them. And he said to them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Church, tonight is time to rise up and pray. It's time that we don't fall asleep in sorrow because, amen, even though there's weeping for the night, joy comes in the morning. On the resurrection day, on the resurrection power, when we sing, the disciples, amen, that were on the road to the village of Emmaus, they had not seen, amen, they had seen his crucifixion. They had seen, amen, amen, and been taken, but they hadn't seen the resurrecting power because the Bible says their eyes were holding. In other words, their eyes were arrested. They did not know it was Jesus walking with them. Maybe you tonight, amen, you saw the downfall. Maybe you saw the death. Maybe you saw the crucifixion, but you never realized the resurrecting power of the Lord Jesus Christ. You never realized the power of prayer, amen, on the other side. Maybe Jesus has walked with you and your eyes have not been opened. But I tell you tonight, as the bread of God, amen, was open as it was to them. Amen. As he said he constrained them that he acted like he would have went a little farther. You need to know tonight Jesus Christ will go a little farther just like he did here in the Garden of Gethsemane. Amen. And the Bible says when he said to them, verse 4 says, and while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. You know, the Bible says, favorable are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. But what did he say? Love your enemy. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they that were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye this far? Don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and the captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. This is the hour of the power of darkness, but it's also, church, the hour of prayer. It's the hour of the resurrection. It's the hour of the power of Christ. It is the hour that Jesus Christ is to be revealed in your life. How is it revealed? Through prayer, through fasting, through the Word of God. Amen. Pray not that you enter into temptation. And also love your enemies. Do good that gets them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. This is the God that I serve tonight. He reigns on the just and the unjust. He raises up the Son because he's no respecter of person. I'll ask you tonight, will you be a child of God? Will you make your prayer? Amen. What thanks have you if you just do it to those that are like you? But you know what? We come out and be separate tonight. Pray, pray, and pray again, and God will answer your prayer. Go ahead, Brother and Sister Green.
Praise God, Brother John. Thank you for that word. And we're talking about prayer tonight, folks. And if Brother John or Sister Carla or Brother Keith ministered to you, and Brother Clint Green, if they ministered to you tonight and you don't know how to pray, you know, I feel led to tell you about, you know, Jesus gave us how to pray. And he said that he, here's what it says in Matthew chapter 6. It talks about, praise the Lord. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. So he knows what we need before we even ask, but he wants us to ask. And he says, be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. And Matthew 6 and verse 9 says, after this manner therefore pray ye. And we all know, hopefully we all know, the Father's, the prayer, the Lord's Prayer is what we call it. And it says, our Father which is in heaven. So when Jesus is telling us to pray, he's saying to acknowledge who we're praying to. Hallowed be thy name. In other words, praise him. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, meaning give us the things that we need. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. So we're to forgive, and we're asking the Lord to forgive us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So when he says not to pray repetitiously, this is a structure on how to pray. You first acknowledge him. You bless him. You praise him. And then you ask him of what you have need of. Praise God. You forgive. Hallelujah. And you pray in the name of Jesus. Hallowed be thy name. The only name given on earth and heaven is Jesus. All things that we do in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. So we're not to take this Lord's Prayer and to say it 12, 13, 14 times as in repetition to be seen of man and be heard of and to be speaking much. It says, but ye, see, it says in verse 7, chapter 6 of Matthew, verse 7, but when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. So when we pray to the Father. We pray to in Jesus' name. And then we bless him and we thank him. We thank him for the day. We thank him for waking us up. We thank him for all his good things. And you know, there was 10 leopards that were healed one day by Jesus. And they all left, but one turned around and came back. And he thanked him, and he said, wasn't there 10? And where's the 9? But he said that I'm the only one that's here. And he was the only one that went back to thank him. And, you know, when we begin to pray and we acknowledge who we're praying to, you know, because the devil, he's out there. He's a principality of the air. And, you know, he hears also, and he wants to put a stumbling block. And, you know, Daniel prayed 21 days. But God said, I heard you the first time that you prayed, but Satan hindered. And I'm paraphrasing that. So, you know, the devil hears too, but he will try to put a stumbling block. And you know, every time I see someone say that there's a stumbling block in their way, I said, just use that stumbling block as a stepping stone. And you step up in Jesus' name, and you go forth with power, with God. And I tell you what, God is a good God. And, you know, if you know somebody and you know that they don't know how to pray, why don't you go to them and pray with them? And you ask them, especially if they're real close, that they could cross over any time. You go to them and you pray with them and ask them, have they given their heart to God? Have you been forgiven of your sins in the name of Jesus? And let them tell you. And you know what? We get discouraged and we don't do those kind of things because we don't want to make somebody feel uncomfortable. But I tell you, if they're getting ready to cross over in eternity, what's it matter anyway? What they think? Because we want them to think, where will I spend eternity? And they'll think about it, and then they'll hopefully they'll give their heart to Him, to God. And you know it. And don't worry if they tell you no or I don't want to right now. And you know they'll respect you more. They will truly respect you more. Like, wow, what has God into this one? And then they'll start thinking about it. And you know. And God uses us. He uses us. And He will do the work. If we just put faith works with our faith and we ask a question, a simple question, if you're alone with that person, and even if you're bold enough to, even if you're not alone, maybe everybody in the room that you're asking that one person that question may go to the whole room and they may ask. Wonder, and they may check themselves and say, am I ready? Am I ready? Praise God. And I want to give another prayer request here, a few more. Michael Folan says that he's hearing that there's major weather damage, violent tornadoes in, I believe it's Iowa tonight. Remember the families there, the people that are losing their homes, and just pray over them. And Martha Farley Hawkins says pray for her Aunt Nancy. She left the hospital this afternoon when they begged her to stay due to an infection around her heart and dangerously high blood pressure. Most of all, she needs God in her life. So pray about that, folks. And Mike Bragg says pray for his mom. That's my cousin over in Drexel, Ohio. I hope he don't care where I told his location. But pray for my Aunt Linda. Pray for Will. He's a 2-year-old young little boy with, I believe it's a brain tumor on his brain. Pray for him that God would give him a miracle that he can someday preach his testimony and give God the glory for how God has brought him through. And he also says to pray for Dago and his family. Dago is my cousin Mike. Pray for them. Pray for Colleen and Stephanie and Mikey and all the kids and all the ones down in Louisiana, lots of cousins down there, and just pray for my heart burdens tonight. But I know God can. I know He is more than able, and He will. Praise the Lord. He's going to bring Mike Nicolini through this here, and I'm hoping and praying he won't even need a surgery on his heart. Sister Carla didn't even know. She had no clue with what she had said tonight, her testimony about the lady with heart blockage, and said the blockage was all gone when they got in there. And I'm believing that also for Dago, for Mike Nicolini. And I'm calling out his name because God's going to hear our prayer. Praise the Lord. And Sister Sandra Davison says, please pray for Danielle. That's her daughter. God knows all about it. She needs a miracle also in her body. God is able. He is more than enough. And cancers and heart blockages and liver cancers and all this is just little small things to God. But God wants the glory. He can do all things. And the Bible says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Praise the Lord. And we're going to have a song here by Brother Tommy Bates. I Went to Pray is the name of it. Praise God.
My burden was so weary, and my cross was so hard to bear.
praise God. That you, you know, it's always good to get away and pray, and pray in your prayer closet. The Bible says if you pray in your prayer closet, which you do in secret, he will openly reward you. So, you know, we're not to boast about praying, about fasting. You know, it's the thing that we do alone and that we get with just ourselves and God. And, you know, it says a prayer closet, but you don't have to literally enter in. It just means to get alone with God. And whether you can bow down on your knees or whether you can't, God knows. Some people have knee surgeries and some people just can't get down on their knees. But that does not mean that you can't pray. You can pray laying up on your bed, and you can pray sitting on your couch, and you know, the thing is, though, to get alone with God and be able to speak to him, be able to talk to him, and you know, pray for the things. And prayer warriors, we need you to pray tonight for the list that I've read off to you. Take them on your hearts this week and pray. And you know, we're going to pray before we end this broadcast, and we're going to go to prayer earnestly. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So, you know, what kind of prayer are you offering up to God? You know, if you repent of your sins and you become clean, he washes you white as snow with his red blood that he shed on Calvary, washes your sins as white as snow. And I didn't understand that when I first got saved. I went to Brother Jimmy Swaggart's in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, when I was 19 years old. And I did not understand it. I did not understand the plan of salvation. I didn't understand how to get saved. And you know, Jesus asked Peter one day, he said, "Who does man say that I am?" And he said, "Peter, who do you say that I am?" And you know, some of the disciples were saying that some other Pharisees, Sadducees, other people were saying that he was John the Baptist. Some were saying he was Elijah. And Jesus said, "Well, Peter, who do you say that I am?" And Peter said that you are the Son of the living God. You are the Christ. And Jesus said that only the Father, the Spirit of God, can reveal this to you. And praise God. The wages of sin is death. And you know, there's a price to pay. When we get in trouble, and here in the laws of the land, the Bible says we've got to go by the laws of the land. And you know, and if we get in trouble, if we steal and we do crooked things, you know, there's a price to pay. We have to spend time in jail. And you know, this here is a dressing room. This here life is just a vapor. 70 years is really nothing compared to eternity. But this is the place where we're to get ready to meet our Maker someday. And we're either going to stand before him at the great white throne judgment, and if our name's not written there in the books, in the land book of life, you know, we're going to go to that place eternity, the lake of fire. But you know what? The beauty of this whole thing is you don't have to go there. It wasn't made for you, no way. It was made for the devil and his angels. But you know, people are going there every day, every second, because they rejected Christ. And all it is just repenting of your sins. And from there on, you try to live a good, clean life. And you just don't do the things that you used to do. Anything that you think would displease God, don't do it. And get into your Bible and begin to study. And you know, that's how we taste of God. Sister Carla said, "Taste of him and see that he's good." How do we taste of God and see that he's good? We get into his word, and when we have just the black letter and the white pages and the red letter, and without the Spirit of God, it's just a dead letter. It's just, we don't understand it. But it's when we have the Spirit of Christ, when we get saved, the Spirit of Christ comes into us. And we start reading that word, and it starts mixing. The Spirit of God mixes with the letters on the pages, and it becomes life, and things jump out at you. And I tell you, it's a good way to live. You know, when we buy something that we have to assemble and put together here on this earth, we usually get instructions. And that's what this is. When we come into this world, this written letter is the instructions on how to live our life. Praise God, it's our manual, how to look and how we're supposed to live, and to live to it and by it by the best we can. And don't get strayed away by getting into some other versions. I tell you, the King James Bible, not the New King James, not the NIV, not any other of these what they interpret the Bible to be. But the translation is the King James Bible. It is written from the Old 16:11 from the Gideon, from the Geneva Bible. When the pilgrims come over, I believe it was, they had the Geneva Bible and they had the King James Bible. And the only thing difference with the with all that is the Geneva Bible, they took out all the, was it the Geneva Bible, they took out all the footnotes and stuff, what other people thought the interpretation was, what the meaning was. But now we've got the King James Bible without notes. You can get a study Bible. I'm not talking about study Bibles, but don't get this other stuff to get you all mixed up, because they're taking out the blood of Jesus. They're taking out the virgin birth. You know, it's one place, one of the different versions talks about Jesus and his parents. And we know that Jesus was the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, and she conceived a child, and which was a great miracle that had happened. Joseph was not Jesus' father, but that translation will try to say Jesus and his parents when he was 12 years old, and they went into the city, and there would Jesus taught the doctors and the lawyers, and they was asking him questions and the great wisdom that Jesus had. But it said that Jesus and his parents went, I believe it says, on a 3-day journey into the city. So be careful, people. Just be careful. Stay with the King James Bible, and you get cleansed and get yourself saved and get yourself in the Word of God, and He will teach you. The Holy Ghost will teach you. Praise God, and praise the Lord. See, we have another caller. I'm going to have 423-545 come in and obey God.
Praise the Lord, sister. It's good to be able to come back in once again just to lift up the name of Jesus. We've been listening to you on the internet, and it's all sounding real good and real good and clear there. So if you got your Bibles, want to turn with us there, we're going to speak a few words here, just a few minutes, starting there in Psalms 55 and verse 17. Says, evening and morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. You know, I believe David there, he was, or Daniel there, whenever he prayed three times a day, you know, and he went up into his room and he found his window open and right toward the east, right toward the old king's palace, and they began to pray, and you know, and he was a praying there. They come up and took him, and they went to the king and said, "Look, said, haven't you signed a decree that anybody pray in the next 30 days, you're going to be casted into the lion's den?" And you know, they casted Daniel into the lion's den. But you know, praise God, he had been praying before. The time come to the lion's den. He'd been talking to God way before that. And, you know, whenever he was casted into the lion's den, I believe God just closed the lion's mouth, and Daniel just made a pillar out of one of them and just went to sleep. And he woke up the next morning, and the old king come and said, "Oh, Daniel." And Daniel said, "Oh, king, praise God, you know, God heard his cry, and he heard his prayer." And my friend, tonight, I don't care what kind of a trouble that we may be going through, God hears our prayers. If we cry out to him, God hears. You know, I believe it was Daniel over there. He prayed for 21 days, and whenever he prayed and he prayed and he prayed, and, you know, he prayed for 20 days and wasn't nothing happening, wasn't a thing going on. But in that 21 day, an angel appeared to him and told him, said, "He heard your very first prayer, the very first prayer that you ever prayed. God heard you, and Satan entered." My friend, today we got to realize that Satan is out there. He's trying his best to hinder everything that he can. But if you just keep on ringing that prayer bell, God will come through. He won't I'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never forget you. He hears your cry whenever we cry out to him. And, you know, we just need to keep crying out and saying, Lord, have mercy on me. And God will always, it may not be the way that we want to hear the answer, but God will answer. And he will come through for us. And he will take care of us. Praise God. Let's look into Matthew 14 there in 23. And it says, and when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. You know, praise God. You know, I tell you what, Jesus, he went into the mountain to pray there. And I don't know, I've not got the scripture just all the way right there yet, but I'm going to use this scripture. Jesus, when he went into the mountain there, he went up there into the wilderness to pray. Praise God. The devil come to him. The tempter come to him to tempt him. And he told him, he said, if you be the Son of God, said, command these stones be made bread. But Jesus told him, he said, it's written, that man shall not tempt the Lord thy God. And he goes on, he says, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It's time that people come back and start praying and start seeking God. I was thinking there a while ago about, and I know it's been used several times here tonight, that the scripture that Rachel read there on the in the beginning of the service, there in 2 Chronicles 7, 14, them people, if they will pray, and praise God, if my people, if they will pray and seek my face, paraphrasing it, you can turn there to 7:14, 2 Chronicles, and you can read it. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. You know, I tell you, as Brother Green was saying there a while ago, people, America needs to do some praying. We need to turn away from the evil. We need to turn our face toward God and begin to pray, and God will move for this situation that people are in right now. I tell you, America, I've got into a situation because they forgot to pray. But I'm going to tell you, I know there's some still praying. I believe there's still a multitude of praying. But if we'll just keep on praying, God will hear and he will answer. He will take care of us despite of everything else that it may look like. We don't need to look at the circumstances. We just need to look to the answer. We just need to look to the Master, one that's got it all under control, one that's going to call the last shot, and that is Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank God tonight that we've got a God that we can look to, the author and the finisher of our faith, one that will take care of us. Hallelujah. Let's look into Luke 18 and verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You know, praise God, we all, he said we all ought to pray and not to faint. You know, we just need to pray and talk to God and let it all in God's hands. Just leave it in his hands and he will take care of us. He'll watch over us. He'll see that we got food on our table. He will see that we got a way to go. He'll see whatever that we have the need of. It'll be made for us. I thank God that I'm a servant of God. Daniel was a servant that he was willing to go into the lion's den with. He knows that that God that he was serving then would deliver him. And old king knew it because the old king, whenever they cast him into the lion's den, he went up there and began to pray and fast for Daniel. And he knew whenever he go back the next morning, he called old Daniel. Daniel answered. Praise God, I'm telling you, God is a God that will deliver you. He will deliver me out of all of our troubles. I believe David over there said, when I cried, and God heard, and he answered me. He delivered me out of all of my troubles. I tell you what, God is still answering our cries today. He has mercy today, and his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for that. Praise God. Let's look into Romans 8. Chapter and verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we shall pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know, praise God, I'm so thankful tonight that the Spirit of God, it will pray for us. I know a lot of times whenever I'm praying, the Spirit of God will start moving, and I will start speaking words that I don't know what I'm saying, but I know one that does, and his name is Jesus. He knows everything that I'm saying, and the Spirit is making utterance for me. He's a praying for me. I don't know what I ought to pray for, but he knows. He knows my need tonight, and my friend, he knows your need. And I tell you what, let's look into 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It said, pray without ceasing. Hallelujah. You know, praise God. We need to pray. We need to pray today. We need to pray without ceasing. We can pray with our mind and our heart all the time. We can pray. We don't have to be walking around and crying out loud, but we can have a prayer on our heart. And we can be crying out to God, God have mercy on us. Hallelujah. Let's look into James. One more verse there. James 5:16. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. And the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Hallelujah. You know, that affection, that prayer of a righteous man, hallelujah, will come through for God, and it'll come through for you. We just need, I tell them a lot of times, nobody has any faults anymore, but we need to confess our faults one to another and pray one for another that we might be healed. That's what God's Word says. And that's what we need to be obedient to, is to take his word and be obedient and take his word and stand on his word. For his word, if we stand on it, it will get us through. That's what all the old prophets stood on. That's what all of the New Testament prophets and the disciples stood on, was the word of God. And we are supposed to be just like them. The word Christian is to be Christ-like. And we're supposed to be like Christ. and we're supposed to stand on the word of God. Hallelujah. If we'll stand on that word, then we'll make it. We'll go through. Hallelujah. I just praise God for another opportunity to come on tonight just to lift up the name of Jesus. And like I said, we've been listening to you on the internet, and you've everyone been sounding real good and clear and everything. And so God bless you, and I'll turn it back to you, Sister Green. Just remember us on Tuesday nights at 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. We've got a broadcast on here on Blog Talk Radio also. So God bless you, and we'll talk to you later.
Praise God, Brother Yearwood. We always appreciate you and Sister Betty and Brother Timothy there. And thank all the callers, Brother John. And always appreciate you guys. And thank the Lord for Sister Carla, Brother Keith coming in tonight. And, you know, we have about 21 minutes left here. And I want to make sure that we really get these prayer requests prayed over. Their urgent prayer request. Kind of feel like maybe I should maybe go over some of them again. I know that pray for Sister Rhonda Rudd. She lost her brother. I believe he's in Florida or what? You know, she may have went to go visit, and they found him. He had already passed away. So pray for their family. Also pray for Lolanda Chasten. Pray for her. God really needs to give her a miracle immediately. They've put it on Facebook that they've already put her in the hospice, and she's pretty young. She has a beautiful voice, sang for the Lord, and a lot of people know her around this here area. So pray for her. And you know, God don't respect a person, you know, if you're not even known at all. In the area, or if you're not a well singer, or God can still, he'll still move for you, and praise God. And you know, I want to get back to these here prayer requests again. Pray for Kay Sue. Please pray for her dear friend, Sister Carrie Crater. She laid her husband to rest yesterday. I mean, you know, that's a hard thing to do. Depression and anxiety disorders for years. Her husband was the only one that could help her when she got bad. And this lady, Sister Kay, is Sue Hargrove Adams, is really worried over her. And Sister Crystal Rice, again, she says, pray for Lolanda Chastain. She needs a miracle. She's the one that I just told you that they put into hospice. Pray for Kim Turner, her family. Pray, God knows what they have need of. Also pray for Sister Kay Sue Hargrove Adams. Pray for Mr. Foster. He had a heart attack. He also has liver cancer, and they're just keeping him comfortable right now. So he needs a miracle. Bonnie Burke says pray for her family. Sister Perry Keaton says pray. Sister Sharon Keaton Perry says pray for her. God knows all about it. And then we know Dago down in Louisiana, Colleen Whittle, and her daughter Stephanie. There is an urgent prayer for Stephanie's dad, my cousin Mike. We call him Dago all my life. But pray for him. God knows all about it, what he has need of. God can unstop blocked arteries, and surgeons can be amazed. They have it on record what it used to look like, and God can perform a miracle, and the surgeons be amazed. Happens all the time. I work for doctors. Praise God. Sister Trina Signa, her family. God knows the situation. Sister Becky Fritz says pray for her and her unsaved children. Mike Folan wants us to pray for about the weather there in Iowa, the people, the bad tornadoes that have hit there. Martha Hawkins says remember her Aunt Nancy. She had left the hospital. She still has infection around her heart. dangerously high blood pressure, and most of all, she needs God. So pray about that. Also, remember Mike Bragg says, and he's my cousin also, says pray for his mom, his little nephew Will, my little second cousin. He's 2 years old, has a brain tumor, I believe it is, and pray for him, and he needs a miracle. And like I said, God can raise that boy up to preach his own testimony someday if the Lord tarries. Praise God. And Sister Sandra Davidson says, please pray for Danielle. That's her daughter. She needs a miracle in her body. Sister Rhonda Rudd says, keep my brother's family in prayer. She's the one that they lost him down in Florida, and the family is going through a grieving time, so pray for them. And so we've got a lot to pray about. And the panelists that are still with me here tonight, if we can just go in prayer. Brother John, you have any prayer requests?
Just remember our church. Remember, we've had several sicknesses. They've had a lot of the flu, and also this other disease that's going around. Let's just remember that, and families, and God's been gracious to us, and we just praise the Lord. Got a good report. My son, we've been praying for my son, and he called me tonight, and it was when he was talking to me tonight, he was remembering things back from over a month ago, and so that was really good. That was some things, and I was really amazed. I mean, wasn't amazed because God's been answering prayer, but just praise the Lord that God is answering prayer, and just continue to, we just need to lift one another up, amen, in prayer, and just keep on the firing line.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God for that good praise report there. God's still moving, folks. Healing and miracles are for today. Well, Jesus amen. Went back to sit on the right hand of the Father, but he prayed that the Comforter would come, and on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Ghost fell in the upper room. On them came in like a mighty rushing wind, and they begin to speak in unknown tongues and other tongues, and God gives power. It's a power to be a witness when we get the Holy Ghost. And in that Holy Ghost, there's 9 spiritual gifts, praise God, that comes with that. And the gift of miracles and the gift of healing, I believe, is in there. And the 9 spiritual gifts, you can look them up in the Bible, and they are for us today. Praise the Lord. And Brother Yearwood and Sister Yearwood, Betty, do y'all have any prayer requests?
Yeah, we've got some prayer requests there, Sister Joanne. We've got a good friend of ours, Edith Hampton. They took a 23-pound cancer tumor out of her stomach last week, or week before last. She's, as far as I know, she's still in the hospital down in Florida. And her husband, Clint, he's needing a miracle. I think he's got a touch of Alzheimer's, and he can't get around too good. And remember, Brother what's the state overseer's name that's in Fred Branham. Remember, Brother Fred Branham, he used to be the state overseer in Africa for the Church of God. He's got cancer, and they got hostages coming in to his place down there to see him. So, and Paul Fritz, Telco pastor, I reckon he's in the hospital with pneumonia. So I guess that's all of them there. Just remember our kids that's lost.
Amen.
I remember Stephanie and Betty.
Amen. Praise God. Also remember Brother and Sister Merle Seeley. They're our pastors, our new pastors at our church. God knows all about that situation. They need God to move for them quickly. So God knows all about that. So hold them up in prayer. If we'll go to prayer right now and pray over these requests, we need God is needed to move on these prayers. It's an urgent request. I've never felt the urgency as much as I do tonight, and all these requests. So let's go ahead and pray. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, dear Heavenly Father, we praise you, dear God, and we, Lord, we
stand in the gap.
We pray, we cry.
Lord, we know that you hear our prayers.
Lord, if they don't
cry out,
God, teach them to pray.
Father, we're crying out to
you, God,
to speak down, Lord, to touch you, God, that you will heal, Father, each and every one of them. Lord, that you will save them, God, Lord, that needs to be saving. Lord, you give them salvation, God.
God, you know right where she is in her house, sister, God.
Father, we give you the praise and the
God.
Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity, Father, Lord, that you meet every need, God. Lord, heal
them.
God, raise them up.
God,
Lord,
to
give you the praise, Lord, and honor.
Prayer request.
Father, meet every need, God, of every one of them.
And Brother John, Lord, thank you for
no matter what it is, God, we praise you, Father, for hearing and your never been.
Be no way, dear God. Give us a call, 347-989-8862. If you're in America and you want to talk and you want to pray and you don't know how to pray, I'm going to give you my own personal home number right now. And I realize third world countries probably can't do this. It would cost them way too much. And I don't even think our phone line, our home phone, will receive calls from third world country. But, you know, find yourself a place to pray. But if you want to call and you want to talk to myself, I'm Joanna Green, or if you want to talk to Brother Clint Green, you feel free to do so. And our phone number here, if you want to get a pen, it's 937-748-6453. I've never felt led to do that, to give our personal phone number on there, but you go ahead and call us. We have local and long-distance calling, unlimited. It's 937. That's 937-748-6453. And if you want to pray, we will sure help lead you to God. And we can't save you, but we can sure tell you how. Praise the Lord. Praise God. You know, when you ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins, when you was a kid and you would ask your mom and dad, they were mad at you, and you would say, "I'm so sorry, Mom. I'm so sorry, Dad." And you would ask them to forgive you. That meant that you wouldn't do it again. And when you talk to the Lord like that and you ask God to forgive you and earnestly mean it in your heart, sometimes, you know, the Spirit of the Lord will draw you. And that's the only way you can get saved is if you feel conviction. And really that means feel sorry for the way you've lived and for the maybe you have not pleased God all your life and didn't really know God or know anything about Him. But, you know Him now and you've heard about Him now. If you've listened to this broadcast, and all you got to do is ask Him to forgive you. And I tell you, God will hear your prayer, and you've got to just stay that way. And if you mess up, don't quit. Just tell God again, "I'm so sorry, and help me, Lord. Help me, deliver me from things. If there's things that you need delivered of, He'll surely deliver you." And you know, a lot, there's folks out there, God knows who they are, that they think they're serving the Lord, and they think that God loves them. God loves everybody. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But that doesn't mean that we can just do any old thing that we want to, or His shedding of His blood would be in vain. There wouldn't be no need for Him to shed His blood if that's all we had to do is believe. So there's things that we have to do. He said it's finished on the cross. But after that, it's our turn now. It's our turn to do what Christ wants us to do and obey Him. And we've got about 4 minutes left. I'm going to turn it back over to my husband and this brother evangelist, Clint Green.
Praise God. Well, I got a little more here to say tonight. I'm thankful, though, that God is moving out there on people. The Bible says here in Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, Joanna's been telling you here tonight, if you're out there and you're not saved, you can come to Jesus. You can come unto Him. And the Bible said there, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." See, you can cast your care upon the Lord. If you're not saved, I tell you, you've got a heavy load on you tonight, and you can cast that load upon the Lord. He said, "All ye that labor and are heavy laden." You know, you're trying to do it on your own, but you need Jesus. And you know, people try to do things on their own. They try to make their own way, and you know, they think they can make it because a lot of people's young and strong, and they think they don't need God, but you know you need God tonight. You need to call upon Him while He is near. And I tell you, if you're under the sound of our voice, God is near to you tonight. And He's so near, He's only a prayer away. If you humble yourself and pray and turn from your wicked ways, then God will heal the land. The Bible said He'll heal your land. Praise God. We're made out of the dust of the earth, so spiritually speaking tonight, we are God's land and God's property, praise God, which He owns. You and I, praise God, He bought us with a price, and your soul has been paid for at the cross of Calvary. Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we must believe that Christ died for our sins. We must believe that He took our sins in His body on the tree. And He did that for us, friend. He did that so that you and I could be saved. All you have to do is turn your heart to God, make you an altar, and call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And today is the day of salvation. Whosoever will can come, take of the water of life freely. As many as received him, that's talking about Christ, as many as received him, to them God gave the power to become the sons of God. And today is the day for you to call upon Christ. This is the accepted time. Now is the time of salvation. The door of mercy is open, and whosoever will can come. Now, whosoever can come to God, and the way you go to God is you go through Jesus Christ. He is the door. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Praise God. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So God's wanting you to yoke up with him. And be a friend of Jesus, and be a friend, and take up the cross, and follow Christ, and take on this burden of telling people about Jesus, and telling them that there is a way of salvation, and that Christ is that way, and he is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Bible said, no man come to the Father but by him. Praise God. You can't get up any other way. You must come in at the door. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I think our time's up. I'm not sure. But we're so glad to be with you tonight. And we want you to tune in next week if you can hear me out there. Praise God.
Next Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And don't forget Brother Yearwood's broadcast on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. God bless y'all. Bye-bye.
Amen.